Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. We're continuing to share with you on the subject of faith, and I trust that you're hearing these broadcasts, or else you can call in and we'll get the whole series to you if you would like to get this, as we are now talking on faith for the eighth time, and we're going to continue on this, sharing these important principles, because there's three things that abide: faith and hope and love, and you have got to operate by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And when you walk by faith, that's going to bring the victory and bring the promises of God into being. That's why we're striving together for the faith of the gospel, earnestly contending for the faith. Praise God, according to our faith, it's going to be unto you, and you've got to learn to operate by faith in your life. Now, you do have faith. You've got the precious faith of Jesus, the measure of faith dealt to you. You have the Spirit of Christ, and with it, you've got His faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith, and you now are to operate in the God kind of faith. Remember, faith is a spiritual force. It's a law that works every time. It operates in the present tense when you declare what God is doing for you now. It always operates in the spiritual realm to dominate and control the natural realm. It deals with the unseen realm. It is a spiritual substance and an evidence to bring into manifestation the promises of God. It's not a feeling. It deals with the unseen realm. And specific faith comes through the Word of God in area after area of your life, and it grows exceedingly through the application of the Word in your life. Doing what it says, acting and using your faith, is going to cause your faith to grow strong. Faith is your servant, remember, and it is something that you're going to operate in the spirit realm to fight against your enemies, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked with that spirit of faith, praise God, the shield of faith to drive out the works of the enemy. Now, also, faith is released through words. We talked about this. When you believe in your heart and you speak forth with your mouth, you're going to release the spirit of faith, and it's to be acted upon, because remember, faith without works is dead and inoperative. Now, faith is to be in two places, the word in your heart and in your mouth, to release it. And as you act upon it, that's going to put that spirit of faith into operation. Now, in the last broadcast, we began talking about Romans 4, and we didn't get farther than verse 17 because we needed to take the time to explain that. We're not going to take the time on this broadcast, but the last broadcast, we covered this. In Romans 4:17, it talks about Abraham who calleth those things which be not as though they were. We did point out that the tense in the Greek, it says be not as being, not as though they were, but be not as being. And you can check this out in an interlinear translation, in Rotherham's translation, Young's literal translation, any Greek testament, you'll find that the tense is the same. It says you call those things that are not happening or not being as being. Call those things that are not happening as happening. And this is important, that when you function in the spirit of faith, you're going to call things that are not happening as happening in your life. You're going to speak them into being. Second thing that it talks about here in Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Now, the word hope is a Greek word, elpizo. And this particular word means a confident expectancy of what God will do for you. Against any confident expectancy, he believed in the confident expectancy. Where did he get this confident expectancy? It came from the promise. The word that God gave him was that he would become a father of many nations. That was the promise of God that was spoken to him. Therefore, that gave him hope. Hope is a confident expectancy. And remember, the word is written in two places in you when you hear it. It is written in your heart, and it is written in your mind. Now, the word in your mind, which is in the realm of the soul, produces hope. The word in your heart produces faith. And remember, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word produces hope in the area of your soul, in your mind. And as you have the hope, you are going to have a confident expectancy of what God will do. Against any confident expectancy, he had to believe in the area of his mind, his will, his soul realm, to hold fast to the promise. And this is important. If you're going to operate in the God kind of faith, you're going to have to continually maintain hope, as well as releasing your faith by confessing and speaking forth what God's Word says. Now, then verse 19, it goes on and says this, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." Being not weak in faith. Now, you're weak in faith if you start considering the natural. If you consider what's going on in your body, what's going on in the circumstances, the way things seem or feel, then you're weak in faith. You're not operating in the realm of faith. He was weak in faith if he would have considered that. But it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Quit looking at the natural realm and start looking at the promise of God. Consider Jesus. Consider the promise of God. He said here he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that situation. He considered the promise of God over the natural state of things. And this is the way faith operates. Faith is not going to be moved by what it sees. It's not going to be moved by the senses. It's going to be moved by the Word of God. Its focus is upon the Word of God. Then in verse 20, he says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You aren't going to stagger at the promise of God through any unbelief if you're going to operate in faith. You've got to have all doubt and unbelief put underfoot. Unbelief causes you to depart from God and fellowship with Him, and you're not going to see Him manifest Himself. Doubt will hinder you. Doubt is the thief of the blessings of God in your life. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water, or Peter was walking on the water going to Jesus there, and all of a sudden he took his eyes off Jesus and he started looking at what the devil was doing, stirring up that wind raging boisterous. And what happened when he did that? Then he began to sink, showing the fact that he was moved out of the realm of the spirit, and he was beginning to sink because he went down into the natural. And you can tell that's a spiritual principle, because if you just were in the water and all of a sudden it wasn't holding you up, you just plop right down in the water. But it says he was beginning to sink. This is a spiritual revelation that's given here. That when you're walking in the realm of the spirit, you're walking above the natural forces. And then when you get your eyes on the natural, though, then you'll begin to be succumbing to natural circumstances. So you're going to walk in the spirit by faith. And when he did, and Jesus later said, "Hey, why did you doubt?" He doubted, he differed, he got into two-minded, a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. And when you do that, you are not going to be operating in faith. So don't draw back into unbelief, or don't get into any kind of doubt. Remember, those guys never could enter the promised land because of their unbelief. They died out in the wilderness. And the wilderness is a picture of Christians who haven't entered into the promised land with their faith to overcome and drive out their enemies and receive the promises of God. God doesn't want you dying out in the wilderness. He wants you going in and possessing your promises, the promised land that He's given unto you. So he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God wants you to grow strong in faith. And you're going to give glory to God. You're going to give thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving is the voice of faith. Giving glory and thanksgiving to God is showing the fact that you believe His promise. You continually give Him glory and thank Him for bringing that into manifestation. That is a release of faith. How can you give glory to someone for something if you don't believe He's bringing it to pass? How could you thank someone for something if you don't believe that it belongs to you and that it is coming into manifestation because you are speaking it into manifestation? Well, that's what he learned to do. He called those things not happening as happening, speaking them into being, and he, against any hope, he believed in hope, and he did not consider the natural whatsoever. He wasn't moved by circumstances, and he wasn't going to be weak in faith. He didn't stagger at the promise of God, but he became strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he'd promised, he was able also to perform. You've got to be fully persuaded that what God has said, he's going to bring it to pass in your life. And he will do that. Now, as you're speaking the word and you're doing these things, one of the questions comes up, well, I'm supposed to confess the word. How long am I supposed to do it? Do I just confess it one time, or do I continue to speak it? Some people have taught that you just say it one time. If you say it more than one time, you're in doubt and unbelief. Well, that's not true, because the Bible shows that we speak the word continuously. We hold fast our confession. That is, hold fast in the present tense, denoting continuous repeated action. In fact, when we're speaking to the mountain, in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, where it says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, that word saith, is in the present tense. And the present tense denotes continuous, repeated action. He believes that those things which he says and continues to say, what has he been saying? Speaking to the mountain to be removed. You keep telling that mountain to be removed, releasing the force of faith until it's gone. And that's the way you release your faith. It's not just some one-time declaration. You continue to release faith. You know, when people used to tell me that I was supposed to speak one time, and if I spoke more than once, I'd speak one time, and then I wouldn't speak anymore because I thought that if I did, I was in doubt and unbelief, and I wasn't seeing the promises of God. When I learned to start speaking and continually apply my faith, because every time you say it, I wasn't in doubt and unbelief. You're not in doubt and unbelief. You're continually applying your faith to the mountain to be removed. For instance, if you've got something that you're applying pressure against, and you apply a little bit of pressure and it moves a little bit, but it didn't move out of the way, you'd keep on pushing and pushing until it was totally moved out of the way. Same thing is true with your faith. You keep applying your faith and keep on speaking against the problem until it is removed. Faith is continually applied to move your mountain, praise God. This is so important. Hebrews 4:14, as we mentioned, hold fast is in the present tense. Continue to hold fast your confession by continue to say it and say it and say it. In fact, that Romans 4:17, where it says he calleth those things that be not as though they were, or literally call those things not being as being, the word calleth is in the present tense. Many times in the King James, when you see a verb with the ETH on the end, it is denoting the present tense. And the present tense in the Greek is very important because the tense denotes how often you do it. If we just do it one time, it'd be like an aorist tense. But this is in the present tense, denoting continuous, repeated action. So he was calling and continuing to call those things not being as being, or not happening as happening. He continued to speak it into being. And your continual speaking of it is a continual release of your faith to bring it into being. So how long do you keep saying it? You keep saying it and keep confessing the word until you see the promise of God. You keep speaking to the mountain until it's removed. You keep casting out the spirit until it leaves. You keep taking hold of healing and declaring it's flowing into you until you are healed. You keep declaring what the word of God says and holding fast your confession until you see the promise of God come into manifestation. Use your faith. Start speaking it against your mountain. Start proclaiming the prayer of faith. When you believe you receive, all those verses there are in the present tense. Believe and receive the promises of God. You keep doing it, and your faith will produce the promise in your life. Do the word. We'll talk to you more on the next broadcast. God bless you. As you have received the word today, be sure to apply it in your life by doing it. I invite you to visit Jesus' Lord Outreach Center for our weekly services Sunday at 10 and 6:30 and Wednesday at 7. The church is located at 23 Morse Road near High Street in North Columbus. For more information, call 268-WORD. That's 268-9673. And now, until I greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a doer of the Word of God.